Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Delta Flyers Journey Through the Wormhole with Quark, Dax, and their good friends Tom and Harry. Join us as we make our way through episodes of Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
Your hosts today are my fellow Trek actors, Armin Shimerman, Robert Duncan McNeil, and myself, Garrett Wong, for the complete and exciting and stupendous and super cool version of this podcast. Check out patreon.com/the Delta Flyers and sign up to become a patron today.
Love the adjectives, Garrett.
Yes.
Love the adjectives.
Stupendous. Stupendous. Yeah, that's a new one.
Hello. The stupendous episode.
The stupendous episode. And also, yes. Armin, the last time we were together was when we had everyone here. It was
delightful. That was stupendous.
It was stupendous. But it was also stupendously long in terms of the amount of time that we spent doing that.
Sure it was.
This will be much faster than that one. So that'll be a good thing for all of us.
We had everybody there. And yeah. Dorney for his very first episode, which is so exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So exciting. And the more I watch this fourth season and see where this show is going, it feels like it has just gone up enormously in terms of just finding its brand.
Yeah.
Like your show right now feels like it has just taken off.
And really, that's due to Voyager.
Really?
In a sense, yes.
Well, because they put all their focus on Voyager, on us, that first year or two.
Ira could do things that, you know, nobody was watching, and he could do things that... That I'm sure Paramount and others would have said no to.
You're welcome.
He had free reign. Thank you.
I wish they had focused on you guys and let us have a little free reign. That would have been nice.
So the micromanaging stopped on DS9 the minute Voyager began.
It did. Now, you guys had been on for a little while, but really all the focus was taken off us and put onto you guys. And as much as it rankled sometimes, the glass was half full.
Yeah.
Yeah. I find it interesting that people refer to Michael Dorn as Dorney. Specifically,
Dorney,
Marina Sirtis. Robbie did it earlier.
We all call him Dorney.
Yeah, everyone says Dorney.
But I call him Michael. Kitty calls him Dorney.
Right. But then I started thinking, that's just his last name with a Y at the end. And I thought, well, would it work with Robbie? Hey, McNeely. Not so much.
I've had people
call
me
that. You had someone say McNeely?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Has anyone say, hey, Shimmermany to you?
No, but they have abbreviated it to Shimmy when I was
Shimmy. Oh, Shimmy. See, Shimmy's good.
Do you like Shimmy? I like that.
No, I don't like it.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Is that on par with the hand on the shoulder?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it
is. Oh, because it feels diminutive to say Shimmy.
Shimmy?
Yeah, when I was 11, 12, 13, they would call me Shimmy. But I never, ever allowed them ever to call me Army. That was totally
Army. Yeah. You don't want that.
Huh. I was called Dunkin' Donuts a lot.
Yeah.
Drunken Duncan, and I don't know. They rhyme Duncan a lot. They like to make fun of that one.
And for me, it's Charmin Armin.
Charmin Armin! I like that one.
I like that too.
Oh my God. You guys know the reporter for Daily Variety, Army Archer?
I know who he is.
Yes.
Yeah. Is his, if he goes by Army, is he Armin? Is that his actual full name?
I have no idea.
Huh,
it may be, or it may, you know, Armin is a very familiar Armenian name.
Yeah.
And so he may be Armenian, in which case that might be a diminutive of Armin. But the Armenians spell Armin differently than I spell it. My spelling is Germanic, and theirs is Armenian, of course.
Okay.
Interesting.
So we will not say Shimmy. We know that. We're not going to
please
go
don't.
That. No. And Wong,
you could if you really, if you went back enough into my past.
You could then. Yeah.
You could call me Freddy.
Freddy.
Yeah, wow. I was called Freddy. Instead of being called Shimmy, I was called Freddy.
Did you like Freddy when you were called
I did Freddy? Like Freddy. Yeah.
Freddy's, that's a nice little, I like that nickname.
That could be code whenever we're in public. If we're like, hey, Freddy, like that, and you can hear us, you'll know that we're
I'll know.
Trying to say
I'll
something.
Know.
Okay. And I do not like Wongy. Wongy's kind of
Wongy.
Yeah.
No,
I don't like it.
Doesn't work.
So Dorney's the only one. He's going to stick with it. Okay.
There are other nicknames, but yeah, Dorney is.
Okay, guys. We have some birthdays.
Yeah, Carl Murphy has our first birthday today. He's on June 18th. Carl, happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Carl. Many happy returns.
Happy birthday, Carl. Next up, we have Penny Leo. Penny Leo's birthday is on June 22nd. Happy birthday to Penny.
Penny, many happy returns. Happy birthday.
Happy, happy birthday, Penny. Have a great day.
Limerick time.
Limerick time. All right, here we go. Here is my
I've learned
poet.
to
Yes.
say
What?
limerick in an Irish accent because it's part of the play I'm doing.
Oh, is
And
it?
yeah, we don't say,
Let's
I
hear
was
it.
told, we don't say limerick. We say limerick. You take the
Limerick.
R out.
Oh,
Limerick.
Limerick.
You take
Oh,
the
interesting.
E out, right?
Limerick.
Yeah.
Limerick. But you take the E
Limerick.
out.
Yeah.
Limerick.
It
You're
becomes
right. You said
a
from Limerick. That's my
limerick.
line.
So it goes from three syllables to two
To
syllables if it's
two.
Irish. Limerick.
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 Robbie, hit us with your limerick, will you? But Robbie, can you do it in an Irish accent while you're
I
doing the
don't
limerick?
think I could
Okay.
do
All
it.
right.
I don't think I could.
That's fine. Go ahead.
I have to concentrate on my cadence to try to make it squeeze it into a correct cadence. All right, here we go. Miles and Julian look into strange readings that they get. So complications and trouble are a sure bet. They meet some Jem'Hadar. Worf and Odo get to spar. Sisko's lesson, bending the rules is a DS9 mindset.
Nice.
It almost
Very
fits into the
good.
cadence.
Almost,
Almost.
almost.
Yeah.
Here we go. Here's my haiku for Hippocratic Oath. Doc and Chief crash land. Jem'Hadar boss wants freedom. Orders not followed.
Very good. Very
Thank you.
good.
Very
Yes,
good.
captures the spirit of it
The
for sure.
essence. I like it.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, the etymology of the title, the Hippocratic Oath, is the definition of which is a solemn oath that medical students and doctors take outlining their professional responsibilities and ethical obligations. The oath emphasizes the importance of beneficence, doing good for patients, non-malfeasance, avoiding harm, patient confidentiality, and respect for human life. The oath also encourages that doctors share their knowledge and expertise with others.
Oh,
That's
hey,
interesting. That's an interesting twist, a detail that's important for this story.
for
Yeah.
this
Yeah,
story, for
exactly.
sure. I like that. Thank you.
And the Hippocratic Oath comes from Hippocrates, who
That's
was
right.
a Greek
Doctor,
doctor.
Greek doctor,
God,
who
perfect.
believed in the humor, so which is a philosophy that illness and everything comes about because of the mixture of these four humors in the human body, which if you took my Shakespeare class, I would explain more about.
There's a little plug for signing up for Armin's Shakespeare class, everybody.
Precisely. Forsooth.
The teleplay by Lisa Klink, story by Nicholas Correa and Lisa Klink. What's super cool is that Lisa had just finished her internship and they gave her a shot at writing the teleplay. This is her first,
Nobody was watching.
big job, yeah. directed by René Auberjonois, and as we spoke about before,
Aubergenois. Aubergenois.
Auberjonois, directed by René Auberjonois, and as we spoke about before, initially René was supposed to direct The Visitor, but it got flip-flopped because of Colm Meaney's schedule, and he ended up directing this actual episode, which I think was a little tough on René, because René was sort of
He had a
ready.
story.
Yeah, well,
Oh, he
his
was.
prep work was for The Visitor, right? So he felt that he
Oh.
was like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, I'm high and dry right now. All of my work, all of my preparation, everything I've thought about blocking wise is for the other episode. And so then they
Yeah.
give him this one. So he was scrambling. So he was not happy about that. But I still
I
think
can
he did a good
imagine.
job though,
Oh, I think he did a
regardless.
great job.
Yes, he
Yeah.
did.
It reminds me of once I was doing the show Girlfriend's Guide to Divorce, and we had a director who had gone through all of the prep, and we were literally the morning of the tech scout, so 48 hours away from filming the episode.
Oh.
And that director was unable to direct suddenly. And I had to go on the tech scout and talk to the crew about what the plans were and how we were going to shoot it. I hadn't prepped a single minute. I mean, I had prepped with her and helped her to prepare her plan, but I didn't have a plan and
Oh
had to take
man.
over on the tech scout and then direct. But Something about that, I was like, all right, well, it's going to be what it's going to be. Like, we'll figure it out. And it was great. It actually was a great experience for me.
So it was actually okay. So there you
Yeah, worked
go.
out
I like
fine.
that. I like that.
But that morning I panicked.
Yeah,
Like
I'm
Renee, I'm
sure.
sure I was like, what? What do you mean I got to step in?
Oh my gosh.
And I'm sure that he had talked it over with Jonathan West, and they had had discussions about it, and all that had to be
Sure.
laid aside. Yeah.
Yeah. I have a thought about Lisa Klink.
Yes.
This is the only script I just looked up that she wrote for DS9. And I love that you mentioned she just finished an internship because Jerry Taylor had really been her champion to get her into the internship and mentor her. Lisa always has spoken very fondly about Jerry Taylor and how much she meant to her career. So I'm sure Jerry had something to do with Lisa getting this script assignment.
For sure. Let
Yeah.
me read a little bit more about this episode. This episode came from two separate story pitches by two different writers. The first, from Nicholas Correa, was based around the story of a group of Jem'Hadar who were trying to free themselves from their addiction to a particular drug. The second was from Lisa Klink, was about O'Brien and Bashir taking opposing sides in a conflict on an alien world. O'Brien sided with the natives, Bashir with the non-natives. The producers liked the idea of Klink's concept, putting O'Brien and Bashir on diametrically opposed sides, but they felt the details weren't quite right. And they got Klink to repitch the story several times with different plot elements in place. Producers referred to her story as their The Bridge on the River Kwai episode, and they likened Bashir to Colonel Nicholson, a character in that film played by Alec Guinness, who effectively helps the enemy. The problem with Klink's story was that the producers couldn't decide exactly what it was that Bashir was trying to do for the enemy. What was causing the conflict between himself and O'Brien? What was the bridge? Eventually, it was Rene Echevarria who suggested putting Klink's story together with Correa's, thus providing the bridge. Bashir was trying to help the Jem'Hadar beat their addiction, and O'Brien was against this idea. This
Great.
is, yeah, it's unique that you have two
It's
different,
interesting, yeah, to see how these
pitches.
two stories weren't c completely fleshed out on their own, but you put them together
They became
and you get it.
complete.
Yeah.
It's fascinating to hear the backstory on how these stories were originated, because of course we had no, I mean, this is the first time hearing of this, and it's fascinating to hear how the machinations of the writing department went about. Really, really quite interesting. So the people listening at home, really, this is a fascinating information.
It is. And you're
It's fascinating for us as actors in Star Trek because the writers were so separate, at
Oh my
least for
God.
us and for you guys for a long time. It got a
For
little better,
forever, forever. It
really
got better,
forever.
but it was that we were still separated. But it,
well, yeah,
we had no idea what they were
no.
doing.
No. We did not know how the sausage was made in the writer's room
At
at
all.
all.
Yeah.
Clueless. Yeah.
And it's funny, it reminds me of now the job that I do as a producing director. I realize how important it is to know these conversations and the origins of these stories because it will inform how we prep and what we look
Yes.
for and the kinds of locations and the tone and all of that. All the conversations with departments where we're trying to figure out how we're going to shoot this thing. If I know where the origin of this story is and what the hopes and dreams are and those conversations, I can help put that on film. But we never knew that. We didn't know the hopes and dreams. We didn't know any of the origins. And it would have helped all of us, I think, as actors, if we
For
had
sure.
known
And
that.
it would have attached us closer to the project. And we were all attached very closely to the project, absolutely. But this would have been one cinch more to say, oh, we understand how the story was created, and therefore we're part of that creative process as well, even if we had nothing to do with it.
Just to be kind of
In on it.
looped in
In
on
looped
it,
in, looped in.
included in some way in that the heart of the story, the
Yeah, I've
inspiration.
always said that writers are the original artists. They are the original artists. We, the actors, and the director are the interpretive artists. We interpret what the writers have created. And that's important too, but they are the original artists.
Well, we have now, sorry to go off on this tangent, but I do a thing now when I'm producing a show. We have sort of a concept meeting with the writers, with the director, with the producers, like myself or the line producer, and the editors too, the post people, where we talk about, before we even start prepping, we talk about the origins. And then we prep, and then we come back and have the follow-up meeting before we start shooting to say, okay, based on those inspirations and origins of your story and the tone that you want to create, here's our choices. Are we good, all on the same page? So the editors know what the intent is. So we're all, as a team, kind of working towards the same goal. We never did that on Star Trek. There was no collaborative, get everybody on the same page. There were no read-throughs. There were no, yeah.
And if we had that, I think we could have put up even a better piece of
Yeah,
content. You know what I'm saying?
100%.
I mean,
Well, you,
yeah.
Armin, with your rehearsal, did a version of that to get
It's true. Yes,
everybody.
but I had no connection with the writers or the
Right.
director usually.
Right.
And so it was just us coming at it from a tangential, from our Ferengi point of view,
Right. Yeah.
as opposed to knowing what the overall concept was, which would have made the product, as you're saying, Garrett, would have
Yeah.
made it better if we were all working as a team,
Yeah.
as opposed to us, being just one horse in the team.
That would have been amazing if they had one delegate from the writer's staff to come over to your house and
Yeah.
just say, "Hey guys, this is what the whole deal is," and then, give you
Yeah.
that it, the inspiration behind how this episode began. You would know. That would help you, definitely.
I think that could have helped this episode in particular, and we'll get into the details, but this one felt a little disjointed to me
Okay.
in terms of its theme and its B story echoing the themes of the A story, and it just felt a little disjointed. And I think if they had those team building conversations, everyone could have been making the same story
Yeah.
in a, a better
Well,
way.
now that you brought up the B story, it's a good time for me to just talk about very quickly what, before I get into guest stars, they wanted the B story to establish the fact that he was no longer the security guy like he was on TNG. So they were
Yeah.
trying to show these are the boundaries, these are the lines that he has to work with, and it's not going to be an easy transition for Worf to be a member of this group because he's gonna get knocked around a bit because he's still latching onto his old job basically on
Yeah.
TNG.
Yeah.
So that was, the impetus behind that B story. Line. All right, guest stars. Scott McDonald as
Yay.
yes, as Garon Agar. Scott, we love Scott. Scott has been all over the Star Trek universe. From Deep Space Nine, obviously, he played Tosk in Captive
Excellent. Was an
Pursuit.
excellent performance as
Yeah,
Tosk.
great job in Captive Pursuit as Tosk. TNG, he was Invek in the episode Face of the Enemy. On Voyager, he was Rollins
And
in
our
Caretaker,
pilot.
in our pilot. Yep. So
Yeah.
he was on the bridge with us. Enterprise, he was the Zindi reptilian Dolom during the third season there. And Scott was actually quoted as saying, "Renee actually requested me for the role, which was flattering." So that's pretty nice to know that the
Very
director
nice.
loved your work as Tosk and said, "I want that actor. Bring him back."
He was great.
Yeah, really good job. Stephen Davies as Arak Taral. But Stephen Davies, again, no stranger to Star Trek. He played the Bolian tactical officer in Emissary, the pilot episode of DS9, and also Nakan in Voyager. In Darkling. I did not know that.
Wow.
Next up, we have Jerry Roberts as Mezzoclan, another Jem'Hadar. He also played Lieutenant Commander Dimitri Valtaine in Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country, the feature film. And he was also on Voyager in the episode Flashback. Then we have Marshall Teague as Temo Zuma, another Jem'Hadar. And he played Halluk in Voyager's third season episode Distant Origin.
This is like the
This is,
repertory company of
I'm telling you.
of Star Trek between Voyager and DS9.
It's unbelievable.
They're doing all the shows,
Just
going
we had
back
the
and
same
forth.
casting director.
Yes, that's
Yes.
true. That's true.
That's true. And then we also have in co-stars, we have Michael H. Bylos as Jem'Hadar number one. He appeared in several episodes of Star Trek Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, Voyager, and Enterprise. His only credited role was in the Deep Space Nine episode that we are about to recap, Hippocratic Oath. Bylos also worked as a stand-in on DS9 and Enterprise. And
Stand in for whom? Do you know?
I did not say. It just says he worked as a stand-in, so maybe he filled in for somebody
Guest
else.
stars,
Yeah,
maybe
something like that.
the guest aliens. He was an
Yeah,
extra.
Alien of the Week. Roderick Garr is our other co-star who played Shady Alien. I'm guessing he's the one conducting
With
business with Quark, right?
with
Okay,
Quark.
yes. Shady
He
Alien.
was
That's,
good. I liked him.
yes.
I just
I
find it
like the
funny.
makeup. I like the two of you together. Good stuff.
Yeah, but it's
Yeah.
just funny that that's the name that they gave him. That's
Shady
yeah,
alien.
that's what he's credited on screen as Shady Alien, you know,
That's funny.
not Smuggler Alien or Black Market Alien, just Shady Alien. That's it.
Yeah.
Okay, let's jump into it.
Yeah. We're in Quark's. We start in Quark's for the first scene. And we see Quark sort of putting together some drinks and but you immediately help us with the story there, Armin, because you're sort of your attention seems you're clocking things happening in your bar. We don't know what exactly, but we see you paying attention, and I thought that was great. Instead of just doing business, you were telling story, and I thought it was really good.
Thank you. And I want to thank Renee for that first shot because it's really one of the most loving shots of Quark that I've seen over the course of 7 years. It was really quite a loving shot as well.
Nice.
Oh, yeah, it was nice. And I don't know if the script called for we see Quark doing this first, but
I can
my
tell
guess
you.
is, oh, you've got it in front of you.
Well,
Nice.
there we go.
No, there's nothing like that at all. It doesn't
Yeah.
introduce that at all. That's all
Okay.
Renee.
I exactly. It felt like Renee. It felt smart directing that we see Quark looking at something. It piques our interest, and then it hands off over to Worf, who's got something in his hand. It was a great way to open the episode, and my guess is that was Renee's choice in the sequence of how he was going to reveal the information for the scene.
Yep.
It was great. But Worf is looking at a pad with a mugshot on it, and he's clocking this shady alien he doesn't trust.
He's clocking the alien so much he doesn't see me approach behind him.
Behind. Exactly.
Yeah. Good
Not very
job.
good security. Yes, it's a customer file 4747 is what it is exactly on his pad. And Quark's nosy, talks about how bad this mugshot is. You're very critical of the mugshot, you know. It's just, how's that going to help you? It's horrible quality. How are you going to find anybody? He's trying to get him, you're trying to get him off the case. You can tell that he's looking to this guy, and you just want to distract him and get him off. You do talk about a non-discrimination policy that you have with
Yeah.
Quark, which I liked that exchange. Just like Starfleet,
Just
you
like
say. Yeah.
Starfleet. Yeah.
So it's actually a wonderful, I don't know if double negative is right, but he's criticizing Starfleet by saying that it's very much like,
Yeah.
it's one of the several times that the writers gave me an opportunity to criticize Starfleet.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yes. Yeah, it's great. Especially with this new guy who's so Starfleet, you know. Kira arrives. Worf does not, we learn Worf does not trust Quark at all.
Either
Does
does
he not?
Kira.
Neither does Kira, exactly. He doesn't understand how a known criminal like Quark could be just walking around. Why doesn't the security chief do anything? You can already tell that Worf's like getting into Odo's business. He's criticizing Odo's techniques or style. You know, it's not how he did it on the Enterprise.
I don't like Kira's comment. You have more in common with a Raconian swamp rat, Quark. That bothered me. So
Thank you.
that's all I'm going to say.
Yes.
Okay. I thought, forgive me, I took it personal. I thought that's
I
not
did.
really necessary. Do you
Exactly. I
really
did
have to
too.
say that?
No, she didn't.
Yeah.
It didn't.
No.
But that it does help the story.
Okay.
Because what it does
Yeah.
is say Worf is being influenced by people on the station to have an attitude about this bartender.
Okay. Okay.
So Quark, I mean, he hasn't spent much time with Quark, and therefore he gets his information, his feelings about Quark from other people, one of the people being Kira.
Yeah.
Well, I honestly I feel that Ferengis, at least how they are viewed by everyone else, it's always one step forward and then two steps backward. Because every time they establish one character saying, you know what? I really admire the Ferengis. I
Yeah.
like your culture. I understand you now. And then the next episode, that same
They're
character
back to
is
the
acting like
same.
a
Yeah.
jerk to you. So that's the one thing that doesn't track. Everything else tracks in this series, but.
I would venture to say that you're mostly right, but I would say the compliments come from Dax, the detriments come from Kira. So the characters sort of track. It's
Okay.
just that the show is giving you two different points
Two
of
different
view.
messages, yeah.
Okay, gotcha. All right. All right.
Yeah.
Well, Beginning in this episode, Worf never speaks of Quark by name, only referring to him as the Ferengi bartender. This continues for the rest of the series.
And if I may, in the 7 years that Michael and I worked together, he never said the word Ferengi correct.
Oh my God, what?
If you listen, he doesn't say Ferengi bartender. He says the Ferengi bartender.
I didn't catch
the Ferengi
that.
Bartender. And I would say it's Ferengi. And he would go, yes, Ferengi. He never says it right, ever. He still, even now, years later, he still says Ferengi.
That's written into the script?
No. That's
it's Michael Dorr.
His version.
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
Ferengi.
Ferengi.
That's funny.
Which is, yes.
He tried to give
right.
it a little extra zhuzh.
I don't know. There's a, you know, Michael and I are very dear, close friends. But yes, I had some problems with him on this.
Yeah.
Side.
It's like saying shimmy.
That's
like,
right. That's right.
Right? It's just not, it's not okay.
Well, how
it's
about this? Okay. You know that product Bengay, which is you put it on for your sore muscles? On Ferenginar, it's Ferengay is what they call that product.
Thank you. Yeah. Yes, exactly.
There you go. Oh, my gosh.
Well, we've got a medical officer's log. We hear Bashir say, Chief O'Brien and I have concluded our bio survey of Merrick 3 in the Gamma Quadrant. We're on course back to the wormhole and should arrive at station 2 days ahead of schedule. Mm-hmm. So they're ahead of schedule. So this helps us know that the team back on the station don't expect them for a couple of days.
They had to do
which,
that.
Which, yeah, I missed that in the medical log, but I was thinking, you know, when they were stranded there for a couple of days, I'm like, why isn't anybody looking for them? So that covered it.
It did.
That's a good catch. I missed it too.
Yeah. But they're in the Rubicon, and the boys are discussing Miles O'Brien's living situation, that he set up a workshop in the bedroom because Keiko's never there. So, you know, she comes to visit now and then, but he's got all this time on his hands, so he wants to get back to some of his, you know, his hobbies, and he sets up a workshop. Miles O'Brien does admit that he wishes Keiko was more like a man, which is funny because this has come up before with the kind of the Bashir O'Brien.
Yes.
Well, I like you. Do you love me?
Right.
I love you. This whole dynamic of like they're friends, but they're trying not to. They're uncomfortable with the relationship of just being guys who are friends.
Yeah.
What do you think he meant to say instead of man?
You. Why can't she be more like you?
Yeah.
That's it, right? Because they have a bromance going on.
Totally.
So,
Yeah. I love the look between them, though.
When, so funny.
Yes. So you wish Keiko was a man?
I wish I was on this trip with someone else. That's what I wish.
They were very uncomfortable in that topic. But they pick up a magneton pulse bearing 090 mark 115. It's in the BOPAC system. And Bashir asks, what is this magneton pulse? We learn it could be a damaged warp core. So there could have been a crash, some kind of ship. So, of course, they're going to take a look. And whenever somebody says, let's just go take a look.
That's always trouble.
It's always trouble.
It doesn't matter if BOPAC 3 is uninhabited like all their records show. No, it's always trouble. This is my problem I with this one scene. Why does Bashir ask that? We've already established Bashir is a jack of all
he's
trades.
He's a pilot.
He's a pilot. He can operate the console. He knows everything. He's also a soldier. He can, you know, so
for
he should
audience,
know what.
He does know. It's the audience. The writers needed the audience to hear, it could be a crash ship.
Fine.
That's why.
All right. Okay. Fine.
Yeah. And before we move on to the next scene, I have a problem with what happens here.
Okay.
Yes.
O'Brien says, let's take a look. That's his line.
Yes.
He, as we learned from the episode and we know already, he is not the main officer in this ship.
Oh, so he's not even supposed to say that then. Oh,
if someone makes a decision, a command decision about going off course, it should be the officer who's in command.
Yeah, the highest ranking person. Right.
O'Brien is, as we're told, is a non-com.
Right.
Bashir is an officer. So why is it that O'Brien says, let's take a look? And they do it. And doesn't he ask for approval or
anything?
Doesn't
ask. Doesn't go. You bring up a point that is at the core of my problem with this episode.
Mm.
That I do think that Starfleet rules rank and
protocol or
protocol, exactly. That's at the heart of both of these A and B stories. It's at the heart of the war photo thing. It's at the heart of, and it was very muddy. I feel like it needed to be much clearer that, oh, we're going to deal with like bending the rules, breaking the rules, rank, and whose job is what. And it was muddy constantly. Who was, yeah, you bring up a great point. They could have easily established that Bashir was the senior officer in this moment if Miles had said, oh, I think it could be a crashed ship. What should we do? You're the ranking officer. It could have been a quick exchange that could have set that up so easily as being an important value for the story, and they didn't do it.
And it becomes very important at the end of this episode.
Critical. Yes.
So you want more definition, Robbie. You want it to be more clear cut is what you want to see, not as muddy.
I want to see them either, this is the way we should do things, and then things fall apart and it's broken, and now we got to figure out, do we still do them that way? Or, on both the A and B story, I feel like that, because it's the lesson that Sisko gives in the end. He's like, you know what? We're not on a starship. We're on a space station, and things are a little different here. And if that's the lesson, then you've got to have the setup of that lesson, and what the world, the structured world should be, so that things can fall apart.
Got it.
Didn't feel as structured as it should be.
Understood.
Anyhow, they crash in a jungle. They crash in a jungle, and it's stinky, we learn.
They
Bashir's
yes.
like, smells like a garbage dump. Which I
Did
liked. I
you
like
say
that
that they
detail.
did you say why they crashed? I don't even know if we got to that point or not, but they got hit by that plasma
They get the
field.
plasma field, and yeah, it's the usual. It's classic meat and potatoes trek. They
Okay,
hit
fine.
some kind of plasma field, they crash. By the way, when they crashed, there was great bouncing and bouncing, but when they hit, I feel like
Yes.
they both should have lunged forward. They just sort of bounced and then they
And they
stopped.
stop bouncing.
It was no momentum, like wow. Anyway, cool. Did you notice that too,
I
Armin?
did. I did. And I'm just always reminded that, the Starfleet people always wanted to look like heroes. So,
Yes, they just sat up straight. We crash all the time. We know how to do this.
That would be funny if there were aliens on board too, and they flew forward, and all the Starfleet people sat
Starfleet
totally
just.
still, like, hey, we're heroes.
Is my best profile.
This
Just,
is my best
yes.
side.
I like the stinky jungle place, by the
That was
way.
good.
I
Yeah,
love
that was
that
good.
detail. And by the way, they're sweating a lot in this
It's
episode.
very hot there,
It's very
clearly.
hot. So the stinky, the mugginess, all of that, is really
It just
good.
sounds like hell, is what it sounds
Yeah.
like.
Jem'Hadar love it though.
In all those costumes.
Oh my
Makeup.
gosh.
Well, the Jem'Hadar show up, right?
So they get out of there, they come out of their shuttle, and the shuttle is, it almost looks like it's been there for like weeks when they get out.
Yeah,
There's
like
all kinds of stuff.
overgrown.
Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff all over it. But the
No
minute they get
scratches
out,
any no scratches on the outside anywhere. Foliage, but no scratches.
They walk out of the shuttle with phasers drawn, and all of a sudden, all these Jem'Hadar materialize, five or six of them in
Shimmer
front of them.
in.
They shimmer in, not shimmermen, but they shimmer in. And it is, it's, this is, I kept thinking, the Jem'Hadar, they're like, you're surrounded. You're now prisoners of the Jem'Hadar. It's like, they've got phasers. Why could, I didn't understand why they didn't start shooting or some type of firefight. They just kind of went, oh, and just kind of dropped them down low. Is there
They
a
would have
reason?
been dead. They were outnumbered.
A good, and again, we could have seen O'Brien and Bashir look at each other. Should we fight them? Because they know the Jem'Hadar are not to be trusted and will probably kill them off. So they should have, while they still had phasers, there should have been a decision to fight or not fight. Yeah, I think that was a missed moment in the
Moment.
in the episode.
Well, they get interrogated. They're asking, are there more Starfleet personnel, other ships? And there really aren't. Then they start talking about, I guess Gurenagar starts looking at the
The
two
color of their
prisoners, the color of the
uniform.
uniforms, yes, and saying, "Oh, you're a non-com. You must have a lot of experience, so you'll be the first one we would kill." And then they look at Bashir, and he's like, "Sciences," and then Arak Taral says, "Science and medical officers are low priority targets, so they're not important at all. I submit we execute this one and use the other in a tactical exercise." Giranagar doesn't want that. He's like, "Nope, bring them back to camp." So they're
Again,
taken back.
if rank and things were important and we're playing this moment, if they could have commented on, oh, senior officer, he's, I don't know. I just feel like that idea was not,
No,
he's the one
no.
in charge or whatever they could have said to reinforce this theme
Yeah.
of rank, of protocol, of Starfleet rules would have helped.
Definitely.
Yeah. Scott MacDonald decides to save them. He's like, nope, don't kill
No.
him. Let's take him back to camp.
Right.
But before he does, and maybe you haven't gotten into it yet, he tells them to go back and check their warp core to and you're about to do that, Garrett. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he tells them to actually go back and put a dampening field on the warp engine so that magneton pulse is not thrown out into the universe, so they're not tracked again.
If I may, I was totally lost who he was looking at. I actually
Right.
looking at it, I went, who's he talking to? Who's he
Right.
talking to go and mask the thing? Because it sure looks like he's talking to Bashir.
Right.
And I thought, Renee, you should have made that clearer about who he was talking
Yeah,
to.
is he telling his prisoner to go back in and do
Yeah,
this?
he's
Or
looking at
yeah.
Bashir, and all of a sudden you see a shadow behind Bashir move off.
Right.
And I went, no, it looks like you're telling Bashir to check
Yeah.
on that thing.
Yeah.
That
But then
was a
if you
missed
look,
moment.
yeah, and if you look at the script, Gronagar says, "Return to the ship, put a damping field on our warp engine." And then the next line says, "Human." So it's almost like, put a damping field on our warp engine, human. Like, I'm like referring to Bashir. And then he's
Yeah.
like, "Oh, gold uniform indicates specialty in security or engineering." So yeah, there is a little bit of,
Yeah,
unsure of
who's he talking
who's
to?
he
Yeah, who's
talking
he talking?
to?
And
Yeah.
did you find Armin in the alien makeup, because your fa the nuance of those kind of things, what who you're talking to is muted because of all of the rubber. Did you find that you had to kind of exaggerate sometimes? I'm talking over here, or looking at this, or did you have
No, I
to?
never had to do that.
Okay.
Maybe Andy did. Andy did a lot of exaggeration because of the makeup, but not for me. They were good enough to always be clear about who I was looking at.
Okay. All
But
right.
I don't ever remember thinking I have to make a definitive
A
move
bigger,
because of the makeup.
yeah, got it. Well, we go to the captain's office, Sisko's office next. Worf is irritated. He wants Odo to be much tougher on Quark and all these criminals around here. And Odo says that he's aware of all of this and he's investigating it. And he's like, I'm out of here. He doesn't have the patience for this. And being criticized by Worf, told what to do, so he leaves. And Sisko reminds Worf that he should just focus on strategic operations and Starfleet. That's what he's here for. He's not security anymore.
Right.
So focus on his job and not smugglers. And then he dismisses Worf.
We jump over into the caves, and Bashir and O'Brien are inside a large force field, basically. And they
Which, by the
realize,
way, they put all the ring of lights, like the rock and roll lights, on the floor in the cave, and to give them, I guess, the sense of a beam. All those lights, they put a lot of smoke in there, and the lights lit up kind of a wall
Of
of
smoke.
smoke. But it was too much smoke in this episode for me because you could see the smoke. If it was supposed to be the energy field, it was so much smoke that you could see the smoke wafting around their faces.
It pulls you
That
out a little bit.
distracted me, yeah.
Well, Bashir makes a comment. He's like, "Wait a minute, does he look a little nervous?" And O'Brien's like, "Well, maybe distracted, yeah." Well, Bashir feels like they need a doctor. Like something is up, something is amiss, something's not right. Someone's injured. Maybe they're sick. And O'Brien's already an opposing view. He's like, no. Look, if that is true, if someone's sick, that means they're weak, and that helps us. So do not help them at all. Continue to allow them to be sick or injured so that we can get out of here." Garanagar shows up and he's like, "Okay, come with me." And he points at Bashir and makes O'Brien stay in the force field.
And they're still sweaty. They're really
They're
sweaty.
sweaty.
They're glistening everywhere.
They're glistening. The smoke force field comes off for a second and then turns back on.
Yep. And we go inside, not inside, it's an outdoor laboratory of some kind. They've set up this sort of primitive laboratory, and it's daylight. So in the caves, it was very dark and smoky, and but we get out to the laboratory, and it's daylight outside. To Bashir, it looks like they want him to help with weapons or something. That's his assumption at first. They end up talking about Ketrasil White, and Garanagar says, "I don't want you to make more Ketrasil White. We want to be free of this addiction." And then Garanagar shares this story where he got stranded here alone for 35 days, and he didn't have any Ketrasil White to get him through the 35 days. And he discovered that it cured him being on this planet, that he is not addicted anymore, and he wants the others to be free. So when he got rescued, he brought all these people back that want to be free of this addiction, and they came here, but it's not working. And he says, let me take you to see something. They go into this jungle clearing. This is where we've got our guards lined up, twitching, and which really kind of bothered me.
Why?
The
Tell me.
staging,
Tell me.
just standing there twitching
In line like
in
that,
line.
right?
Like if you've got people that are detoxing in real life from a drug, they would be
They
down on the ground, they'd be in
should
a
be
fetal
lying on a in a
position.
cot or something or a, yeah, you're right.
I
And
don't know.
here's what I would
It's
have done if I was directing.
yeah.
I would have had them not in a line when their commander showed up. When Scott showed up, they try to be as soldier-like as
Great.
possible. And then there's still some little tiny twitches as they're trying to do both, to be a soldier and to deal with their illness.
I like
That
that.
would have been a better choice
I like
in my
that.
mind.
100%. That would have been a lot better.
I
And
like
again,
that. Focusing on this sense of command, who's, you know,
Yep.
and maybe this is the place to say it, although I apologize to Scott for saying it. And it's interesting to me that Garrett, that you said that Renee wanted Scott for this part. I think Scott's the wrong person for this part.
Really? Ooh.
I love Scott, and he's a great actor, and what he did as
Agreed.
Tosk is phenomenal. I just think he was wrong. I would have wanted somebody more like Mark Alaimo to play this part.
Like
Oh.
clearly in charge, the boss. Interesting. I can see that.
Yeah.
I
Okay.
like Scott too. He's very charming. He's a good actor. He's good nuanced,
He
but there
seemed
is
too
something
soft
that's
to be the guy who's in charge of this. He just seemed too soft. Now he's very intellectual, and that's because the Ketrasil White is he's not addicted to it anymore. So I can understand that. But I needed a military presence. I needed whatever Avery has that makes him the commander, that makes him the captain. I wanted something like that in the actor playing this part.
Interesting.
But
I can see what you're saying.
And introducing as Garanagar, Mark Alaimo, who also played. I mean,
He
he
could
could have
have,
played it.
you know, we
Sure.
Star Trek, you get to play lots of
Yeah,
different
that's
parts.
right. Exactly.
Think of
Okay.
Jeff. Just think of Jeff. Okay.
This episode of the Delta Flyers is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds.
Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it. So your dollar goes a long way.
Visit progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary, not available in all states or situations.
Well, Garanagar says they're suffering too much, that it's not working, bringing them here to this planet. And they only have 5 days of Ketrasil White left. And he reveals that he's lied to all of these people under him. He told them they have 27 days left, but they
Right,
don't.
they don't.
They've only got five. So if Bashir can't help them, then they're going to kill him for betraying them. They're going to kill Garanagar for betraying them, and they're going to kill Bashir if he can't find a cure. So,
You know, when he hands him the when they hand those tubes to them, the Ketrasil White, I was a little confused because I thought they all had tubes already attached, and then the Ketrasil White was in like a small, like a, you know, a feeder thing that attaches to the tube. But the tube, it's almost like a throwaway. How do I explain it? It's like a It was just odd to me because each of them got the individual tube and that had the Ketchup Cell White in it. I thought that
Then they put it inside their jacket or something.
it attaches into
Like,
their neck, right?
yeah, and then the
So.
tube came out of the jacket. I think they did that because the rig needed to show liquid moving, and so they had all the rig under the clothes and they kind of
Right.
pretended to connect it. But yeah,
And
it's a
I
little
was impressed
complicated.
that the tube showed that the white going into the system.
Yeah.
I went, wow. And he actually, without looking at it, he knew that he was feeling better.
Yeah.
Right. Because it didn't immediately do it. It took a nanosecond or two to
Yeah.
start. And I
Yeah.
thought, oh,
Good
that's
job.
really quite good
Yeah.
job. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it definitely looks good when you see the white going in. But when he hands the when he when that thing opens up and they grab the white
The
the
tubes, yeah.
stuff, I didn't think it was going to be the tubes. I thought the tubes were already attached. It would just be this, you know, this.
Yeah, it was bigger than I expected for sure.
Yeah, it was like,
Yeah,
what
it
is
was
going
big.
on? Yeah. All right. So now we're in the wardroom. We have Kira, we have Dax, we have Worf, we have Sisko. Everyone's here, it seems like.
The
Odo's there. The
big
gang, the
meeting.
big
Big.
meeting. Yeah. So these Klingons, you know, they've been causing a lot of trouble. They've been attacking outposts. So they're basically seeing, you know, they're going to different systems, different star systems, and figuring out where is the weak point here. And let's go ahead and just let's attack. And there's just a lot of issue with the Klingons. So Sisko wants constant reports on he wants to be briefed every single day about what's happening with the Klingon situation. He dismisses the meeting, and as they leave, Worf says, may I speak with you for a moment, to Odo. And Odo's like, oh, this is probably about Quark, isn't it? And Worf is still he's talking about agreements to acquire a Talonian micro scanner and all these different things about Tylonian crystals, which are illegal outside of the home world. So again, Worf is not listening to what Sisko told him and what Odo told him before already. He's still latching on to the fact that
Trying
he's.
to solve this crime, the smuggling operation, which is
Yes.
funny in this scene because Odo's responses are all very brief. Oh, really? That's interesting.
And it's purposeful. He doesn't say
Yes.
yes, he doesn't say no. He goes, yeah,
Right,
yeah.
right.
He doesn't lie. He
Nope.
just simply, yeah.
Exactly. I liked it. I thought it was, yeah. Odo seemed very restrained, and it did catch my attention because usually Odo's got an opinion about things.
Yes,
And
yes.
he's very restrained with Worf,
Oh, yeah.
trying just to, move on
Yeah.
and not get into a discussion about it.
Right.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
And I'm going to come back to this scene a little bit later about something that I want to bring up, but
Okay.
that's later. That's later.
Great.
Okay.
We go into the lab next, I think.
Yeah.
That outdoor picnic table lab Bashir's working at. He's got rock samples there. We see a guard walk by. Another nice shot from Renee using that guard to sort of bring us over and, panning off the guard, and then the guard walks by. But we see Bashir and Miles are both working. They're secretly preparing a weapon. Miles has been working on it. They have kind of a secret whispery conversation. And then once they check in with each other, Bashir says, "Good work, Chief," very loudly, very publicly. "Good work, Chief. Keep this up. You may make a fine officer someday." I love this exchange. O'Brien's like, "Thank you, Lieutenant. Coming from you, that means a lot to me." This was very, very kind of a little stiff and formal and very public for the
Yes.
benefit of their guards.
Right.
But again, if we had had more of a setup of the hierarchy of the military or of Starfleet, then this would have played, I think, a little bit better. Okay.
Yeah, it felt like a one-off joke rather than essential to the theme of this episode. Yeah, I agree. Well, that was very funny. And then Bashir goes back to work, and we see a Jem'Hadar looking over this cable, this tube that Miles has been working on that has that weapon set in the end. He sort of accidentally sets off this weapon. It hits a guard in the leg. They grab O'Brien. They start choking him. And they,
And O'Brien, it's interesting to me. O'Brien tries to make an escape. He doesn't ever refer back to Bashir. It's his ass that he's saving. There's no sense that that they should
teamwork.
teamwork doing this together. He just tries to take off. And then eventually, of course, not eventually, but pretty quickly, he gets caught.
He gets caught and they start choking him. And we go to commercial in the old days off of him getting choked. We think this Jemadar
And
is going
does
to
he
kill him.
struggle? If you
Not
look
really.
at him, he doesn't really
I mean,
struggle
he's
that
not
much.
really
Again, he's a
struggling.
hero. He's a hero. You can go ahead and choke me. Go ahead. Here's the throat.
Yeah. Go ahead
He
and choke me. I'm
doesn't really, he
Starfleet.
doesn't.
I
So
can't
if somebody
die.
had their hands here, go back and look at it. If somebody had their hands on your throat, what would be the first thing you would do? You would put your
Your hands
hands
on their hands
on
to
their hands
throat.
to
Yeah.
try to
Yeah.
free.
He was just laying there. Yeah.
Well, maybe he was so, okay, Armin, maybe he was
Yes.
so stunned by, because the first move that happened was he's thrown like a rag doll. He's like literally just thrown up in the air and slammed WWE style onto this picnic table. So he's like, ugh. I just thought maybe he's really shocked
Maybe
and
he's
just,
knocked out a
I
little
would
bit.
agree with that, Garrett, if he didn't have the time that of the commercial to figure out that he was being choked. And then when we came back from the commercial, that his hand should be up there.
Okay, fine.
And Garanagar says, stay where you are, release him. I said, release him. I wish they had said, that's an order or something,
That's an
again,
order.
something to remind us of the hierarchy.
And again, with all due respect to Scott, who I really think is a wonderful actor, he didn't have the gravitas, he didn't have the military to make that an order sound like an order that needed to be respected.
It sounded like like he was begging, please release him, as opposed to that's an order.
Well, I mean, there is one point, there is that one scene that's coming up where he does say, if you disobey me, you know the consequences. So that's the only time he ever establishes his superiority or his higher rank. Everything else is, you're right. Stay where you are, release him, but nothing like that's an order until that one time, which is in the future. We don't get that yet.
If Picard or anybody or said that stop it, everybody would go, you know, because of the quality that the actor brings to the role.
Yeah, okay.
That's all.
I got you.
If Kate said stop it, you would stop.
Okay. Got it.
Well, we go to commercial, we come back. Finally, the guard releases Miles and they take him back to his cell. Julian checks on this wounded guard. His knee is destroyed. He needs a surgical kit. He's got to replace the knee. It's blown to bits. And another guard goes to kill him. He takes out a weapon and he's going to shoot him in the head. And we learn that that's the rules. The rule is, I think Mesoklon says, you know the rule. If the death of one makes us stronger, then he dies. So that's the Jem'Hadar rules. Again, back to hierarchy and structure and rules. But Bashir says no. And Garanagar agrees, don't kill him.
Doesn't he say
And
these are Vorta rules?
he
These
says,
are,
these are, yeah, we came here to be
and
free of the Vorta, he says.
I found that to be very good writing.
Yeah.
These guys are innately in reverence to the founders. So if something's gone wrong, it can't be the founders' mistake. It's
Right.
the Vorta who work for the founders, who are not gods. And therefore we can blame it on the Vorta, but God forbid, pardon the pun, but God forbid that we should blame it on the founders. I thought
That's
that
an
was good
interesting
writing.
detail, but you're right. It is good writing.
But it's also, a lot of times when you see films or TV shows where people are like, oh gosh, he's wounded. He can't come along. We got to leave him, or we got to take him out or something. The person who's wounded never wants to be shot or left, or taken out. But here, the one who's shot, Mesoklon says, if I cannot stand, I am useless. So they already know the rules. It's sort of like he's like, yep,
They're
go ahead.
accepting,
They're accepting the death immediately. Mesoklon's ready to die, and that's just part of the process. It's the norm for them.
Garanagar does convince them, it seems, to get back to work and don't kill him. And we cut to Quark's cafe.
Shouldn't there have been a reaction from the other Jem'Hadar saying what?
I thought there wasn't one. There
I don't
wasn't
remember
they,
seeing
okay.
one.
I don't
Was there
remember
one?
seeing one either.
It should be like, what?
What the heck are we doing right now?
So that the idea that if they don't find the white, that they're going to go after this captain. There should be a degradation foundation, is that the right word, of the command structure for the Jem'Hadar as they watch their commander do things they shouldn't do, he shouldn't do.
He's breaking the rules. Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of breaking rules, Worf sneaks into Quark's with some secret code.
How does he have that code?
I thought Rom had put.
Yeah, he has the pin. He puts the pin code in. There's no way he would have the pin code.
No.
And the script actually says, I have it in my script that I have here, that he actually breaks in. He breaks in with a, I don't know, it's not a crowbar, but he breaks in. But here Worf just punches a code and then he gets in. And I went,
I don't buy
well,
it.
that doesn't, and again, I'm thinking, did Renee not want to shoot Worf breaking in, or did Michael say, no, I wouldn't break into anything. I would just know the code. And I mean, that's quite possible. And I thought, who's responsible for that?
It would have been better to physically
If
use
he
his
broke
Klingon
in.
strength or something to break in.
Yeah, but just to
His
know the
bat
code,
left.
how would he know the
How would he
code?
know it? No.
How would he know
It's
the
a private
code?
business.
Exactly.
Yeah, but
Even
also,
if the
Robbie.
code would. Go ahead, go
Yeah,
ahead.
no, I was going to say, Robbie brought up a point. Rom takes care of all the locks, and he's a
We've talked
genius. This
about.
is like a
Yes!
multi-layer, multiple layers of
Even Odo
encryption
couldn't.
that to get
Odo
through.
tried to break in once before with that big lock on the door, and he
He couldn't
couldn't
even
crack
get in.
it.
No.
No. Yeah, I
So,
don't buy it.
okay.
Worf,
Wow,
but
good catch.
Worf sneaks in, and he watches from upstairs, watches Quark. Quark's cleaning up. We get a little time dissolve. Quark's got his feet up on the bar or on a stool. And then he hears someone at the front door. Let's our what was he called? Our
Shady
shady
alien.
the shady alien. He lets the shady alien in. And we see Quark examine a pouch. He looks at it with an eyepiece, and Worf has it, enough evidence here. Worf is, he leaves. He's off to talk to Odo. He goes to the security office. He's mad as hell. Tells Odo that he saw Quark inspecting these crystals. He should have arrested him. And Odo finally loses it in this scene. He's not, he says, I'm not interested in your opinion of my job performance. Now I suggest you attend to your own duties. Stop interfering with mine. He's laying down the law that this is my job. You are not security here on this station.
Now, he was nice before. Now he's not.
He's
Now he's
not.
yeah, he's like, this is the deal. Follow it.
I thought it was an interesting scene and also multi-layered in some ways, and maybe I'm reading into it.
No, I think you're right. I totally agree with that. It's Ira and the writers and saying, this is not TNG. This is Deep Space Nine. We have different rules here. We have a different world here. This doesn't operate by your rules. We're totally different. And Sisko will have a speech to that effect. But it's them saying, no, this doesn't work your way. This is a different show. You can't expect it to be the same, and it isn't.
I liked it. I liked the multi-layer of that brief but very strong scene between the two of them. I thought it was great. We go back to our picnic table lab, and Bashir's giving Garanagar a full scan. He's amazed at his genetics. His body's just making the right amount of white to survive. This is when Bashir shares that there was a Jem'Hadar child on the station that they had to take care of. And Garanagar's like, oh, wow, I would love to see you guys humans try to control a Jem'Hadar child. And Bashir admits, we couldn't. All he wanted to do was fight and kill. If it wasn't for Odo, I don't know what we would have done. And this is where Garanagar says, Odo's a founder, right? And he talks about the founders here and
Well, he
to the
talks about how
gem.
he's never seen a founder. He's like, I've never even seen a founder. They're like, he goes
Gods.
like, yeah, they're like
They're
gods
like,
basically. And the only problem is our gods don't talk to us and they don't wait for us in after death. They just want us to fight and die for them. That's it. I thought this was a really interesting scene because of that piece of information that Bashir says. Your body is producing the exact amount of Khetra cell white you need to survive, but I can't find where it's coming from. And I thought, man, are they going to delve deeper into this? And they never do. And it's
They
just
never
like, I
do.
want to know. I want to know.
Yeah.
How? Yeah.
It would have been nice to resolve that story in some way before the end of this episode to know
Yeah.
that, oh, maybe that's possible that there are other Jem'Hadar that
Yes.
might, in the future, we might meet that will have this ability to detach from the Vorta
Yeah.
and the fighting and the
Yeah.
anger.
Yeah.
But it, yeah, we don't get an answer on that.
No.
Yeah, we go back inside the caves next, and Bashir's talking to O'Brien in here. He basically tells O'Brien, I think Garanagar is a good guy, and I want to try to help him. And Miles is not convinced. He feels completely the opposite. And but Bashir says, if we can figure this out, maybe the other guys will be good guys too. Like if this one guy, Garanagar, is a good guy, maybe they all have that potential. I've got to do this. And Miles says, there's no way. It's too risky. And this is where Bashir pulls rank, and he
Yeah.
orders him to go get this biospectral phase discriminator from the runabout sensor array, and pulls rank here. And O'Brien's like, whoa, oh, yes, sir. That's his only response.
Yeah. Is
Yes,
this a
sir.
scene that ends with them turned apart from each other, like one
Yes.
face? Yes, this is the scene where that
Which
Renee staged it that way. I do
I
like that
liked the
ending.
image. I
Yeah.
didn't like the timing of it.
Oh.
Because when you cut to that shot,
Yeah.
we're on Bashir's back, Miles is facing away, and then Bashir makes this very conscious turn away. And I thought, oh, it's a little too
Forced.
forced. If he had said yes, sir, and on Bashir you saw him start to leave and then stop, and then you cut to the tableau and they're just both in the position.
All
It just
right.
it felt
Okay.
to me
Okay.
like, we finished the moment and then we have to play this sort of dramatic, I'm going to turn my back to you moment.
Right.
It was a
So
little
all
too
it
much.
needed was a slight tweak, a little tweak, and it would have
Maybe
been good.
editorial, maybe the
Even
editor should have.
editorially speaking, yeah.
Yeah, I would have cut around that self-conscious turn away, personally.
Yeah. But it's still a
So,
nice ending shot, though. Sorry, go ahead, Armin.
very nice.
Would this scene have played better if in the scene in the runabout before they crashed, if we saw two good friends just joking about
Rank or.
and changing the quarters and what were you about to say that we're better people like you? If we saw them as good friends, they were friends on the runabout, no
Yeah.
doubt about it. But even more so, if Renee had asked them to play it as they did the drunken scene in a couple
Yeah.
of,
so that these guys are really good friends, and yes, they're of different rank, but they're really very close. So that when this happens, you go, oh wow, the
Right.
relationship, the friendship has just taken a huge hit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
No
true.
awkwardness. Lose the awkwardness in that first scene. Yeah.
That's right.
Even though it
Yeah.
was funny, there was some moments of the awkwardness being funny.
Right.
It didn't land this bond that's,
Right.
unbreakable
Instead
bond.
of Bashir going, oh, you want me to be a man? As opposed, oh, you want me to be a man?
Yeah. Right.
And they're laughing about that. No, and they're just having camaraderie. They've finished a trip. They're on their way home.
Yeah.
They're just two friends having a good time. And then
Yeah.
this would be the antithesis to that.
Yep.
Could that have been accomplished through editing, though? Could they have edited
If you
that
have
scene a little
it on
bit?
tape, if you have it already on film, that they have that take, then you could do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you have to have it in the editor's lab in order to get it to do
Right.
that.
But also, I mean, the way that we watched it, there's a lot of space in it where that awkwardness happens in between their lines at towards the end about the man.
You could have
Yeah.
pasted up editorially a little bit, but I think you would have had to act it the way that
Okay.
Armin's
All right.
describing. And I don't think they acted that. They acted a bit of awkwardness
Awkwardness,
that would have
right?
been hard to cut
Right.
around.
Okay. Got
Yeah.
it.
Here's the comment in the script where the two of them face away from each other. Off the moment as the two friends find themselves on opposite sides.
Yeah. So he literally interpreted that with the staging, looking opposite directions. All right. I don't know if I've mentioned this before, I have a book up on my bookshelf as part of my directing collection of books, but it's not a directing book. It's called Dream Symbols. and it has things that you might have in your dream, like a bird or a clock or a burned out light, and it describes what those images, those symbols are in our subconscious. And sometimes when I was directing, I don't do it as much anymore, but I used to look at how a scene was described. Either a character says something, or the description says they find themselves in opposite worlds. And I go to the dream book and I try to find a symbol of that idea of feeling, abandoned or lost or something. And I would have props or set deck put those items, the symbol. Maybe it's a painting on the wall, or maybe it's
Oh.
a light that's burned out or something. And I try to incorporate that for the audience subconsciously to sort of get these symbols of what the themes and the moments were. And I'd work that in to,
Yes, you're
kind of
painting the picture. It's part of
painting the
the.
picture. Yeah. So it's a way of taking those ideas like Renee did with this opposite. Find themselves in opposite worlds. He did it with staging, but I would do it with staging or with props or set deck or something like that. Or maybe
Yeah.
give the actor some business when they come in the room. They try to turn a light switch on, it doesn't come on. And then they go on with the scene. But we know that, and it wasn't even scripted, but it was just something on theme that we know that they've lost their energy or they've lost
Yeah.
their will or,
Yeah.
It's
Very
fun.
smart.
Fun to be creative that way. I'm sure
Yeah.
Renee has lots of things like that in this, but he didn't have Dorn busting open the door. He just croaked. I wish he had done something more active. We go to the Rubicon. O'Brien's trying to pull this tube or something out of the floorboard. It's a scene where O'Brien and this Jem'Hadar do not like each other. Arak-T'Rall. They don't trust each other. They don't like each other. He gets the cylinder out. The Jem'Hadar doesn't trust him. He says, put it down on the floor. That's when Miles takes this cable that he had detached, sticks it into the opening, and it sparks the panel behind the Jem'Hadar, distracts him long enough that Miles can jump on the little transported
Transported.
pad. Yeah, beams outside and escapes. He takes his tricorder, looks around, and then runs off. So he's escaped.
Okay. I like the line. Arak-T'Rall says, "Even if you had killed the guard, you never would have reached the runabout." And O'Brien's like, "Well, I guess we'll never know that." And Arak-T'Rall says, "I know." That was the best. I know. There's no way I would have killed you, is what he was saying. But I thought it was funny that as he's working on that thing, that floorboard is up, and that little piece of, you just see it says transporter, what is
Oh
it?
yeah, it said
Transporter
something.
online in red LED kind of lights. And it was
Yes.
like, wait a minute, why?
The
This
guy
is,
can read, dude. He can read English.
but it's also 400 years in the future. Why is that little thing popping up right there? That's not a console. That's not a monitor. It's just like a piece of a
It's like the
bulkhead,
sidewall.
the
Yeah.
sidewall that happened to say flashing light, transporter working. Like
I
that to me
forgot
was
about
funny.
that.
I
It
started
did.
laughing so
It was
hard.
distracting.
Yes,
Yeah.
I was like, what's going on?
And if I may, Robbie brought up something that I just suddenly struck me. How can he read English? How can he understand English? He doesn't have a comm badge.
Oh, that's true.
I think the comm badge actually translates for the other people around you too.
Oh,
Like
okay.
if you know what I'm saying, if you don't have a comm badge, but if the other
Yeah.
person doesn't have a comm badge, if I have one on and I'm talking, the Jem'Hadar is going to understand exactly what I'm saying because
Thank you.
it's
Okay.
translating for the
Okay.
person speaking. Yeah.
That's a tricky one to track, though, because sometimes, Starfleet or, our actors are taken hostage by a alien enemy and they're
Yeah.
put into some prison uniform.
Right.
Do they still have their comm badge? Do they let them keep the comm badge? Because how are you talking to each other? It's
Yeah.
a bit of a mushy rule.
Yeah.
Right.
So when I brought up that little message that we saw, it wasn't so much that the Jem'Hadar could read that, because I'm not sure if he could, to be perfectly honest. Like I know
Yeah,
that the
maybe
trend,
not.
maybe not, but the fact that that even existed, that that message came up on part of
Yeah,
the
you don't have
wall or the
messages
panel.
on the bulkhead.
Oh, everything that
No.
you read is off of a monitor, off your pad, off of it's always something with a little screen. You can
Yeah.
see it. But then that
Yeah.
thing was just it lit up right there. Because if you
Yeah.
think about that, That's a floorboard. If that thing comes on and the floorboard is back in place,
How
no
would you
one's gonna
read
read
it?
that. No one's
Yeah.
gonna know it's working. So
Yeah.
that to me was very funny. I thought, wow, look at that. They shoehorned that
Do
one in
you,
there.
Armin, do you have the script for
I
that
do.
scene
Yeah.
in the runabout? Does it say that O'Brien's working and we see a monitor shows or
Let's
something?
see. O'Brien goes to a panel on the floor near the transporter pad, and pulls the panel open. He picks up a tricorder and begins working with the wires and circuits inside the panel, checking the readings on the tricorder. Eric Terrell stands watch over him. I'm going to skip the dialogue. O'Brien begins working. Eric Terrell satisfies himself that everything is secure for the moment and then considers O'Brien as he works. Your escape was flawed. O'Brien glances at Eric Terrell, but he's not too interested in chatting with this guy. And then skipping close on tricorder as O'Brien works with controls. Yeah, absolutely. It's in the script.
It
Close
is.
on panel near the transporter. Insert. A small display lights up saying transporter power online.
So it's in the script. Wow.
Yeah.
They should have put a monitor down in that bulkhead. They should have put like a pad that is supposed to have words on it,
Or
not the
Robbie
structure.
on his tricorder. It would have said it on
Yeah.
his tricorder. You could have an insert of him looking down. It says transporter active on the tricorder
Yeah, that would
itself,
have made sense.
not on
Yeah.
a piece of bulkhead underneath the floorboard.
It's just
The
awkward. They
heck?
did
Yeah.
what the script said, but
They
it's
did.
done
They
awkwardly.
literally did it. Yes. Oh my
Yeah.
gosh. Okay.
All right, well,
Where?
O'Brien's escaped. He's escaped. We go back to our picnic table lab. Bashir cannot find anything. He
No.
thinks maybe Garanagar was never addicted at all, maybe. Maybe he was getting this the white earlier, but he didn't need it.
Right.
And that's when our Rock Toral arrives. He says O'Brien's escaped, and he thinks Julian knew all along, that he's been lying all along, both of them. He doesn't trust him. He thinks Garanagar is gotten weak and soft now that he's not addicted anymore. He says if being cured is going to make me like you, Garanagar, then I don't want this cure. And he says, I'm not listening to you anymore. You're not my commanding officer. It's over.
Yeah, you're weak, you're soft, you're inferior.
So he leaves, and Bashir says in the scene he promises that he will stay here and find a cure, but he tells Garanagar, you've got to go find O'Brien first. I'll stay here.
And obey my Hippocratic oath.
He keep working my Hippocratic oath.
There you
He
go.
gives
I
his word.
mean,
He says, I will not try to escape. I give you my word on the Hippocratic oath. I give you my word. Yeah. But they don't even say that. Does he ever say the Hippocratic
No,
Oath?
no,
No.
no,
No.
but it is, to the credit
Implied.
of the actors, it is implied, and the title of the script is Hippocratic Oath.
Yeah.
So it is, and we've seen this in Bashir before. He's not pragmatic. What's the opposite of pragmatic? Idealistic. He's
Yes.
idealistic, and so this is what a doctor does, and by God, this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah, well, he stays. He gives an oath, gives his word. And off of that touching moment, we go back to
To
Quark's.
Quark's. We're in Quark's. It's after hours. No one's there except for Quark. And of course, our shady alien is there. The exchange is about to happen, and it's going to be this very rare and illegal Talonian crystal in exchange for this bag of Latinum. And right before the exchange happens, warp come warp. I called him warp.
He warps in.
Worf warps in. Worf comes in and says, "Okay, you're under arrest, and I'm gonna bust you." And da 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 da. And then out of the blue, the bag of Latinum
Yeah,
turns
but
into.
at first I turn to the bag and say, "What's going on here?" To the bag, I say it to the
Did
bag.
you do you
Yeah,
actually
I say
turn to
it
the
to the bag.
bag?
Yeah,
Oh,
you're asking about, do you ever have to turn your head? In this one, I do.
you
I
did.
turn to the bag and go, "What's happening here?" If you
And
look
the
in the scene,
bag.
that's what happened. What's happening here? And it's to the bag. It's not to anyone else. It's to the bag.
Okay. All right. And that's when, so you're telling me that you already knew
Yes. Oh,
as Quark that
absolutely, I
Odo
knew.
was.
Yeah,
Oh,
let's.
absolutely.
You're
Okay.
tell you were helping Odo with the setup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a
And that's why
question.
that's important, is if you don't see that, then you don't know the Quark's in on it.
I
Quark
didn't
was
know
always
that.
in on
I
it.
did not know that until you brought
Yeah.
that
Well, he
up.
lets him go.
Yeah.
I figured, yeah, because Odo says, all I'm going to get is the middleman. He doesn't say, I'm going to arrest Quark and the middleman.
Right.
So clearly,
So
Quark
he's
was in
part
on
of
it.
it then. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
So Odo does turn from the bag into himself. He's pissed off.
Yeah.
He grabs the crystals and grabs the shady alien and takes him away.
Yeah.
And Worf is left,
Huh.
yes,
I guess the way that
embarrassed.
Quark, that Odo asked Quark or requested that gem, and the way how reluctant you were to give that gem away, that made me feel like you weren't part of it. You see what I'm saying? So that's what
I
confused me.
understand, but
Yeah.
that's just part of Quark's nature. If I've got a little extra, I'll take
I'm going to
it.
keep
I'll take it.
it.
Yes. But scene
Okay.
42, new
Yes.
angle, optical. Quark stands outraged. He looks down at the bag of platinum in Worf's hand and strangely speaks to it. What's going on here? The bag begins to morph. So
Okay.
I'm only saying I did what I was
You
told.
did
Do what
as
you were
you did. You
told.
did. You did.
And you
You're.
should have gotten that crystal for it as a bonus. You should have.
If I could have, I would have.
I know. You
But
tried.
this is the dance that Odo and Quark play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That they can work together, but Odo's got his eye on Quark, always
Yes.
making sure that he doesn't, go too far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe René, the director, should have gotten a better or closer
Yes.
shot of me addressing the bag so that Garrett would not have been
Yes, because
confused.
it was so far back that
It was a big wide shot,
I
yeah.
didn't track it at all. You know what I'm saying? It did to me. It just looked like you were like, what's, how some people will say, what's going on? They're just kind of looking random directions. What's happening? Like, and so I did not know that that was happening because of that. And you're right. If it was a tighter shot, I would have
And
thought,
I didn't
uh-oh.
catch the line to the bag, but I did catch at the end when Odo lets you off the hook. I was like,
Yes.
oh, he must have been working with him.
Okay. So even
But
you didn't catch him talking to the bag either. And
I
that's
didn't
because
catch
it's
the big
that
shot. So
a
maybe
shot
René
selection.
should have had a closer
A
shot.
tighter shot. Yeah.
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 Well, O'Brien, I did not miss O'Brien trying to hide his tricorder under some leaves. He put his tricorder under some leaves. The Jem'Hadar are trying to track him. They kind of split up. One of them shoots the tricorder. He finds it under the leaves, gets a reading, shoots it, and that's when he shoots it and gets thumped in the face with a branch. So obviously O'Brien set up this whole booby trap, the old branch in the face gag,
The old guerrilla tactics.
the old gorilla.
Yes.
Yes, he's been at war. He's
Yes.
done this before.
Yes.
We cut back to our picnic table lab, and Bashir's there working on this experiment. When O'Brien comes in, he's got the Jem'Hadar's weapon. He says, we got to escape. Bashir says, no, he's not going.
Yeah. I'm just to stop for a second.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the script and I realize, wow, this page is not in the episode. The very thing that we were just discussing about, how do we know what's happening here? Shady Alien says, will someone tell me what's going on here? Quark says, which is not in the episode, it's called a setup, a sting, a charade, one that I would
Whoa.
have seen through in a minute, by the way. Worf says, you were working together? Against my better judgment, Quark says. I kept my part of the agreement, and so I expect you to keep yours and drop all charges of conspiring to receive illegal goods. Odo acknowledges that, and then the alien miserably reaches for a drink. Quark says, it's not a special occasion anymore. And then we go back to what's in the episode. Why didn't
Wow.
you tell me what you were doing? So it was
They
very
cut
clear
all
from the
that
d they
out.
cut all
Yes.
All gone.
Oh,
I
wow. I'm
didn't
glad
realize
you
that until
caught
I
that.
just saw that.
I'm glad you caught that because I like that. I wish we had seen that. I'm
Yeah.
sure you filmed it as
Yeah.
well.
Yeah, I'm sure we did. Unless, again, this is blue pages. Who knows? Who knows?
But that would have been crystal clear. If that dialogue was left in, I would have known exactly what was happening.
So the people who don't know, I've referred to it now twice. I'm assuming everybody knows, but we get different colored pages as the week progresses, as the episode goes on,
They revise things.
and we
Yeah.
revise things, and some lines are added, some lines are taken away. It's possible those lines were taken away in a goldenrod, which is usually later on.
Right.
So that's possible, but there it is in the blue pages. Wow.
I want to ask both of you, do you guys know the memorized order of colors?
No. I do not. I just had a
Okay.
problem now trying to remember, so
Because am I right to say it goes to like 35 different colors. I mean, it's a lot.
It goes to a lot of colors, and I'll be honest, these days most production offices do not print out colored pages. They print out the words. At the top, it will say blue revisions, yellow revisions, green revisions, but they won't use
Wow, the
the different
colored
colored paper because
paper.
you gotta go to the machine and switch all the colored paper. And a lot of
Yeah.
people are using digital now, so they
Interesting.
just, so you see the revision and the word up there, but you don't actually get printed colors anymore. You haven't seen printed colors in a long time.
Thank
Yeah.
you.
Old
And the
school.
dots are the stars still used?
Stars are still, yes. Starred
Stars
pages.
indicate in the script that something's been changed.
Yeah, the stars will be right along the side of the page next to the line that was changed
Changed.
or omitted or added or something. Yeah.
Okay. We're still with Bashir not wanting to go, and O'Brien's wanting to go, right?
Yeah.
Is this where he destroys the equipment? Yes. And so,
Yes, it
in
is.
one last final, because it looks like O'Brien's going to leave. He's just going to leave Bashir, but he
Yeah.
kind of turns and fires at the piece of equipment that Bashir's been working on and absolutely just disintegrates it. So it's not usable anymore. And he looks at him and is like, well, now you got to go. You're coming with me because
He
there's nothing to
doesn't have
do.
to go.
He could have stayed.
He
Yeah.
gave his word.
That's true.
That
He
is
gave his
true.
word. I'm not going. He doesn't have to go.
Yeah.
There wasn't time to have the discussion, but there should have been. There, he gave his word,
Yeah.
and he's an ideologue. He should have. Okay, I can't finish that experiment, but I did give my word. I wouldn't escape.
Right.
Yeah.
So he broke his
Yeah.
word.
Well, I think, Armin, though, you make a good point. There's not time because Garanagar comes back in. He
Yeah.
shimmers right back in before they could have had it, but that would have been a nice, even a couple of lines just to say, I don't care. I
Right.
gave my word.
Right.
I made an oath to stay here and help him. I'm not leaving with you.
That's right.
That would
Yeah.
have been a nice moment, a heroic moment in a way. But yeah, Garanagar comes back in. He is mad. He tells them both to move, takes him to the runabout. Arakturol comes out of the ship and he is wound up. He's mad, but he's glad that Garanagar, seems to have chosen the side of the Jem'Hadar. It's like glad to see that, what does he say? I shouldn't have doubted you. And he says, should we kill them ourselves or let the others do it? And Garanagar says, I'll do the killing. And he shoots his buddy, the Jem'Hadar, shoots Arakturol.
Arakturol.
And
Doesn't make
Gr
any sense. Doesn't make any sense. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's a sudden turn, isn't it? Because now he's decided we're all going down. This Bashir can't help us. So he shoots Arakturol,
And
lets the humans
why are they
go.
all there? They're all there because he wants to help his men. He
Yeah.
wants to help his men. He has, and this is what O'Brien's going to talk about in a moment. He wants to, he could have disabled him without having to shoot him. I mean, shoot him, but not kill him.
Yeah,
Right.
stunned him or something. Yeah.
Stunned him. Hit him in the knee. Done something. To kill your own man, after all we've been told that this guy wants to do for his men. That was a little hard for me
Yeah.
to
And
digest.
especially the next moment, he says, Garanagar says to O'Brien, you were a soldier, right? And O'Brien says, yeah, I have been. He goes, you explain to him what it's like being a soldier. And he leaves. And then O'Brien says, he's the commander. They trust him. He can't leave them. Well, then why did he just kill his own guy?
Bingo. Well,
yeah, he's going to go put all the rest of them out of their misery, in essence. But this is what bothered me is that Garanagar, when he survived, he literally ran out of white and then something happened. So, in essence, he could just sit with his men and say, I'm just going to sit with you guys. I'll hang out here. And when we run out of white, let's see what happens. Because maybe that was the key. You have to
Go
have more
past
white.
it,
Go
go through
past.
it.
Yes, work through it. And maybe something about the stinkiness, the hotness of that planet keeps him from
Yeah.
actually dying, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Who knows?
Well, they head off. We go to the captain's office next. Sisko's working on his
Wait,
alien
wait, they
clock.
head off.
Yes.
How did they get to the planet?
In the runabout that's
Right.
in the jungle that got
In the
damaged.
jungle that got damaged.
How do they get off?
How'd they get off the planet?
Yeah.
Isn't the runabout still damaged? That no one has fixed it.
Yeah, nobody's, no. We're skipping over that part.
We're going to skip over
We're just
that. We're not going to
gonna,
talk about that at all. We're going to the captain's office now. Okay. All
as we
right.
do,
I've
as
done
we,
TV before. Yes,
yeah.
absolutely. We'll just skip over that.
Let's keep going.
Nobody will notice.
Nobody will notice.
In the captain's office, yeah, he's working on his clock, which I love that alien clock.
Yeah, we've seen that before in a prior episode.
Worf comes in. He wants to confess to Sisko that he hindered Odo's investigation. Sisko's like, I know, I already know about it. He says, word gets around. DS9 is not a starship. This is where Sisko gives his advice to Worf. He says, Quark has his own set of rules. Just like everybody else on this station, they have different rules than Starfleet. And we have to all learn to fit in together. He says, you're gonna get it. It's just gonna take some time. And they have a little coffee toast at the end of this, which I thought was cute. Poured a little, it looked like coffee to me, like glass coffee mugs or
Ractagino,
something.
maybe.
Racted,
Yeah.
maybe. Is that what Ractagino is, a coffee?
Yeah,
Yeah, it's like
Ractagino. Yeah.
cappuccino. So maybe, yeah,
I
maybe it
like
was
how
that.
Sisko says, let's just say DS9 has more shades of gray. And Quark
Yes.
definitely is a shade of gray. And then I started thinking, oh my gosh, we could have a Ferengi romance novel called 50 Shades of Quark, is what we can have. And it's about Quark and his love lives all throughout his
I think those have
life.
already been written, by
Oh, have they?
the way. I think they have too. Yes, there's some fan fiction out there
Oh,
that's
yes, it
quite
exists.
risque,
50
as they
Shades of,
say.
usually
But
it's me and Odo, is what that is.
oh,
Really?
really? You too? Oh, my.
Interesting. We do cut back to the Rubicon, the runabout again. They're back through
I
the
just want to go back.
wormhole.
Sorry. I want to go back to Shades of Grey.
Yes.
I love that line because, as I've said several times during this podcast, it's a different show. It's a different show. Don't expect it to be the same. It's not the same rules at all. And I'm flattered, as the actor who played Quark, that Sisko stands up for him, because that doesn't happen
Yeah,
very often.
it doesn't. You're right.
And I'm flattered that he admits to that. I wish somebody would tell Kira that,
She needs a
but
memo.
I'm flattered. I'm
Yeah,
flattered.
good.
So back to the Rubicon. They whoosh back through the wormhole. They return. Miles says to Bashir, "You can go ahead and bring me up on charges." There's definitely tension in this scene. Unlike the first scene where they were laughing and awkwardly sort of joking with each other, this is heavier for sure.
Big time.
Miles says, "You can bring me up on charges." Bashir is hurt and disappointed that he disobeyed his command. And Miles explains that it was more important to save your life, and he hopes he'll understand that someday. He tries to frame it that way to him.
Yeah.
And Bashir says, "Well, tonight's supposed to be our weekly dart game." And O'Brien says, "Don't worry, I don't feel much like playing either." And there's an awkward silence, and then Bashir says, "Maybe in a few days." So
Yeah.
we know they're going to get over
They're
this,
gonna make
but
up. They're gonna make up.
and I didn't like that. You
Mm.
didn't? I didn't. I would have said not a few days. I would have, I don't know what I would have said, but I would have said, I'll think about when we play again. I think it was just too easy. It denigrates the disobeying that happened in the middle of, to say, "Oh, give me a couple of days and I'll get over it."
Yeah, it lowers the stakes.
It lowers the stakes.
Yeah.
I would have preferred for Bashir to have said something like, "I'm not sure that we could play again. I'm not a writer, so I'm not sure we could
But
play again, but
okay.
not in a few days. Not in a few days." That
Yeah.
makes it sound like they had a lover spat for, and it'll be over in a moment.
Yeah.
Maybe they could end without Bashir saying anything. Okay,
Yeah, no,
so
Jared, good.
Bashir says tonight's supposed to be our weekly dart game, and then we know from the way he says it that he's not into it, right? And that's when O'Brien says, "Don't worry, I don't feel much like playing either." And don't nothing else,
Yeah.
just that conflict right there, right? We don't know what's going to happen. Are they going to play darts again? And you're right, it's too easy for him to say, maybe in a day or two,
Is this the scripted ending in that
Oh yeah,
script?
look,
I'm
yeah,
just
let's see.
curious.
Let's see.
I'm curious if anything was changed. Those are the
Now,
kind of things that get
I'm getting into white pages, which is even further back.
further, yes,
No, Bashir
older.
says maybe in a few days.
Maybe in a few days. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
All right. Well, there it is.
There it is.
We're done. Let's talk about theme. Let's talk about theme or lesson of this episode.
My
Robbie.
theme, my lesson for this is sometimes you have to trust your gut and not just follow the rules. And I
Yeah.
think Gronagar was doing that. Bashir was doing that on some level. Even Miles was doing that. Everybody was doing that. And for better or worse, people were following their gut sometimes and not the rules. And yeah, it's a judgment call, I guess.
I like that.
It's that gray area that Sisko talks about.
Right. That's right.
Yep. Okay. Armin?
Mine is very similar. Do not always accept everything you have been taught. Reevaluate based on facts. Current facts.
Yeah, mine's kind of a mix of both of yours, I guess. Yeah, you need to do your due diligence out there, because a lot of times you're fed a certain type of information that you think is the truth, but you need to figure out what really, you need to know every single angle, right? And a lot of people don't do that due diligence. Our Patreon poll winner for theme slash moral of the episode is submitted by Feroza Mehta. Sometimes we need a friend to save us from ourselves.
Oh, I like that.
Very insightful.
I like that.
Yeah. All right.
Nice, Feroza.
Good job, Feroza. First of all, I just want to say thank you to Armin again for joining us on this one.
Yeah,
thanks, Armin.
Sure. Yeah. That was fun.
Yeah, very, very fun time. Next time, we will be recapping and discussing the episode Indiscretion, and that will be with Armin and special guest Mark Alimo.
Mark will have a lot to say.
Yes.
People should join in for that one.
Yes, yes. For all of our Patreon patrons, please stay tuned for your bonus material. For everyone else, we'll see you next time. Bye.